Hello and welcome to the Business Life Podcast. Hope you're well, hope business is well, and I hope your life at home is just as good as your business. Today we've got a very exciting guest. He's just written his very first book. He's gone and changed his career path entirely after a pretty life-changing event. So I tell you what, let's go and talk to the one, the only, Mr. Byron Morrison. With me on today's podcast is a very special guest. He's just written his first book. His name is Byron Morrison, and the book is called Become a Better You. And I love the cover simply because it's got the word perfect crossed out, because none of us are perfect, and that's fine. We can always be better, so it's great, great cover of the book. Thank you for joining us, Byron.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
Hey, no problem, my friend. Look, obviously, this is your first book, so look, we'll get on to why you sort of like you wrote the book a little bit later. So, look, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us sort of like why you are so passionate about becoming a better you.
Cool. Well, if I take you back a few years ago, to be honest, I was really unhealthy. I was close to 50 pounds heavier, did absolutely no exercise, and I constantly struggled with everything from managing stress to just dealing with the ups and downs of everyday life, and affected everything from me gaining weight to always having really bad insomnia, no energy, being moody. And then my dad actually got diagnosed with bowel cancer, and during his treatment, he had most of his bowel surgically removed, and he spent 25 days in ICU on a breathing machine and a tracheostomy and with life support keeping him alive. And after that experience, it was very much the wake-up call that I needed to do something about my own health. So I saw a glimpse of my future if I didn't change my own ways. So while he was having all his treatment, I'd started researching about health and nutrition and how it can treat diseases, and I kind of sparked a passion. And I started getting into exercise after that and eating healthier, and I just realized that that's what I wanted to do. So I kind of changed my career path, went away, studied nutrition, had a behavior change coaching, became a personal trainer. And I found there was a huge thing in the industry where people just still couldn't relate. And I thought with the message I was trying to get across, I could actually put myself in the shoes of the people struggling. And that's why I set up a coaching business, just to kind of help as many people as possible go through the journey that I went through, all based around the goal of helping others avoid going through what happened to my dad. And that's kind of what's brought me to the point that I'm at now.
It's one of those things, it's when you suddenly realize that it could be a generational thing. I guess that really frightens you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I come across so many people, myself included, who genuinely don't actually know how bad they're feeling until they actually start feeling better. Because if I go back a few years ago, I had no clue like how down on life I was, how exhausted I constantly was. It was just one of those non-stop battles trying to make it through the day. It was only now, looking back, that I realized I was in such a rut and it was so difficult, and I can't actually believe how terrible and unhealthy I actually felt.
Yeah, it's, I've done Jason Vale juicing. So yeah, I'm just going to name drop him there, and I've met the guy as well. Actually, really, really nice bloke. But I lost something like 11 pounds on a 7-day juicing diet. And I know people have got their opinions about juicing. I'm not going to ask yours. Don't worry about it. but it was a bit of an eye opener, actually, team. That it was really strange how crap I was feeling before I did that. I mean, I still juice now. I don't juice as constantly as a 7-day juice diet or anything like that. And I'm keeping a relatively healthy weight. But yeah, you suddenly realise how much you depend on things. It's like, caffeine in tea. You know, you suddenly get to the end of your first 12 hours of juicing, you suddenly realise you've got an absolutely banging headache because you haven't had 5 cups of tea yet that morning, which is just a bizarre way to live your life, really, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's just a non-stop battle, and so many people I come into contact with don't even realise they're going through it. They're just so set in their ways and just every day just trying to make it through the day and survive till the weekend. And it's just crazy that that's what our lives have actually become, and how dependent we actually are on caffeine and sugar and everything else just to try and make ourselves feel better.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously you had this you know, this pretty much life-changing experience with your father, and quite right too. What sort of career were you doing before? You mentioned that you changed careers. What sort of career were you doing before you sort of like got into personal coaching and helping people become much healthier?
I was actually working in marketing.
I'll forgive you. It's okay. So, to all the marketers out there, I just forgive you. It's fine. It's okay.
It was one of those things, to be honest, I never really wanted to do, but I always grew up with absolutely no clue what I wanted to do with my life. So I kind of just fell into it. And it was just a 9-to-5 office job that made me absolutely miserable. But because I had no other options, I kind of just stuck to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's a trap that so many people fall into, especially in this day and age where you kind of come out of university and then you have to get a job to get experience if you want to get anywhere. And we kind of feel like we have to torment ourselves for a few years just to hope that the rest of our career is going to be better. And that was kind of the mindset that I was stuck in, where I was like, oh, if I stick this out, then everything's going to magically get better and I'm going to progress and then I'm going to be happy. So I've got to kind of suffer for the next few years to achieve that. And it was just a vicious cycle.
Okay, so you then moved into, obviously, personal fitness, personal coaching. How did you start up? Because obviously you're starting from scratch pretty much.
Well, if I go back to the marketing job, I actually, like I said, where I felt like I was stuck and needed something better, I got to the point where I could progress, got an interview at a top marketing agency, and actually realized halfway through the interview that it wasn't my job that I hated, it was my entire career. And I kind of in that moment just had like a self-realization.
Yeah.
Went home that night, cancelled my move to a new city, decided to turn the job, and just thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a book, I'm going to detail my journey and start a coaching business. Mm-hmm. So for the next 6 months, I stayed in the job and situation I was in. So things didn't magically get better, but I kind of changed my mindset and realized, this is my passion, I'm going to pursue it. So I spent the next 6 months to a year writing the book, doing as much research as I could, putting that all together. And then last year, I launched the coaching business and started taking one-to-one clients on and doing seminars and workshops and podcasts like this, kind of sharing my story and helping others make positive changes in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of results have you been seeing from these one-to-one coaching sessions and the seminars that you've been doing?
It's been really, really good. Like, just one of those things showing people that it's not just about weight loss. So I get a lot of people coming to me saying, oh, they want to lose weight. But when we kind of dive deep into their mindset and why they actually want to do it, you can find that everything, they're having trouble at home, managing stress, they don't know what to eat or how to become more active. So those things are changing their lifestyle on the whole. Mm-hmm. And just with weight loss as an added benefit. So the people coming to me are seeing everything from better sleep to manage more levels of energy and just a better outlook on life. Which I think for me personally, I can give that to someone who's a hugely like self-gratifying like purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've obviously been doing coaching, you've been seeing results. So tell us about why you wrote this book. I mean, obviously your first book. This is a pretty big deal. So what's made you write your first book?
I kind of just got fed up of all the diets and trends that we kind of sold on. Because every week there's a new diet plan or fitness routine, and we're kind of sold on the idea that we have to give up all of our favorite foods or spend every day in the gym. And as someone coming into it, like I was, who was so distant from that idea, I just couldn't relate to it, and I just couldn't stick to it. And I get a lot of people coming to me as well who feel like they have to overhaul their entire lives and just hate the entire experience to get the body that they want. So I wanted to do something completely different. That kind of takes the reader on a journey of self-realization where they work out why they actually want to change and then tailor their own plan as to what they actually want to achieve. So it doesn't just look at their diet. I also dive into mindset and habits and ways to rest and recover and also becoming more active in a way that works for the reader. Because a lot of us fear exercise, but there's something for everyone to enjoy. So it's very much a whole holistic approach to your entire health. And then it pulls it all together at the end and lets the reader define their entire journey, taking them through a list of activities to set their goals and the actions they want to take. So it can be completely tailored around them, and it's not just another one-size-fits-all approach, which I thought was really important, because we're sold so often on all these crazy diets that just don't work. because at the end of the day, we're all different. So what works for me probably isn't going to work for you. Uh-huh. So we really need like some personalization on it, which is one of the main things I really wanted to focus on. And also just show people that it can be easy. Like, it doesn't have to be something that's horrible and you can enjoy it for the rest of your life.
Okay, so that's the, I suppose that's the bit, one of the biggest things really, is that when it comes to dieting, it comes to eating healthier, etc., is that actually it's always been seen to be not very enjoyable. It's always seemed to be sort of, I don't know, feast or famine. It's like, you know, when I did the juice diet, you know, I will admit it, that actually it was bloody hard for 7 days not to eat anything or anything like that. And it's actually incredibly harder to start eating again after you've just done 7 days of juicing, because you suddenly feel that your mouth is used for something completely different. It's very odd. what sort of hints and tips would you give people to make that sort of thing enjoyable? Now, bearing in mind, obviously, sort of like the listeners to this podcast are business owners, they run their own businesses, etc. How can you make it enjoyable? Because they've obviously got to try and stick it into their very busy lives at the same time as well.
Well, I think that's the key to it all. It's finding out what works for you. Because at the end of the day, dieting just doesn't work. It's very much a short-term fix towards essentially a long-term problem. And the reason why it doesn't work is, from a basic psychology point of view, as soon as you tell yourself you can't have something, you just want it more. And that causes us to get huge cravings and battles of willpower until we eventually snap and just land up binging. So with anyone I work with and in my book, I try and kind of move them to a mindset that's all about balance. Because at the end of the day, yes, you should be trying to do everything you can to improve your health. But life's also short and you need to kind of start enjoying the little things as well. So if you can develop a diet where you aim for 80% of your intake to be from healthy, nutritious foods, then the other 20% can really be whatever you want. I think that's completely maintainable long term. So yes, it means cutting back slightly and having a bit more moderation, but I still love cake and I love chocolate and ice cream. And if I told anyone to give it up, I'd be a hypocrite, because I'm not going to give them up. But I've just learned to enjoy them less often, which I think is the key to it all. Rather than every single day feeling like you need to binge and go crazy, if you save that and do it once a week, you'll start enjoying it more and you'll feel the benefits of losing weight, boosting your energy and your entire body actually functioning properly, which I think for busy professionals is essential, because we don't need any extra pressure or stress on our daily lives. So if we can strip it right back and simplify it completely, that's what's going to actually work.
Okay, so what about tips on fitness? Because I'm 42. I go walking, but I wouldn't say I'm particularly fit or anything like that. I'm generally put off by gyms simply because normally, I apologise if any of you are listening, but you know, the big blokes that stand in front of the mirrors do a couple of reps and then sort of expect their muscles to be bulging more than they were 20 seconds ago. I don't get that. I really don't get it. But I also don't go running, A, because I've got a dodgy knee, which is never good. But also the fact is that everybody that I see running looks so bloody beautiful and slim. And yeah, pardon my French, it just pisses me off. And I would just end up looking like a 42-year-old semi-fat bloke, sort of like wobbling a bit, or you know, or you know, just sort of like meandering. It just doesn't look right. What sort of tips? That's a personal thing. I get that. What sort of things can you give us hints and tips on our fitness? Sort of again, trying to fit into busy days, busy weekends, etc. What sort of hints and tips can you give us with that?
To be honest, it comes down entirely to the individual and what they enjoy. As you said, with the misperceptions of gym, like if I go back to it, the reason why I would never exercise is I always felt like it wasn't for me. Like I wasn't like those big guys grunting in the corner staring at their biceps. And I was like, I don't want to be like that. So I can't do it. Like the amount of times I used to go to the gym when it was really busy and just decide to go home. And trying to convince myself I'll come back later when it's quiet. So I get that. I get that it's hard to push yourself, but it's all about pushing your comfort zones and just trying something new. Because if you said to me a few years ago that I'd enjoy going to the gym, I'd laugh at you. So I couldn't think of anything worse. Whereas now I actually look forward to it. So for people out there, like there's anything you can do, from playing a sport to swimming, doing yoga, or even workouts at home. So if you're really busy, you could squeeze something in at lunchtime if you have a properly tailored workout plan. I find with a lot of people who are working long hours, it's all about training smarter, because you can get far more done in a 15 to 20 minutes properly tailored plan than you could in an hour aimlessly bouncing around the gym. So if you are really tight on time, you can look at something like that and just do it as soon as you get home, because once you get comfortable, you kind of lose all motivation. And also when you're starting out, it's a lot easier to find motivation to do something for 15 to 20 minutes than it is for an hour, especially when you have to change and then drive somewhere or face the cold to go out running. So I'd say just start small. If you've never really been active before, walking more is great. Like, we kind of overlook walking, thinking that it's not big enough an action to do anything, but it's been proven to do everything from reduce your risk of getting diabetes and stroke and heart disease, and also help with managing stress. So with quite a few people, what I do if they have no time to exercise is just get them to go for 5-minute walks throughout the day, whether that's before meals, at lunchtime, or every couple of hours just to stretch their legs. Like, when you're full on in go mode each and every day, that 5 minutes could be exactly what you need to kind of mentally release, get everything else back under control, and then go back into work refocused. So
I find that a huge benefit, walking. It also helps. I've got a partner that basically drags me around sort of like on mad trips up sides of hills and things like that, which is almost quite interesting, because at least the scenery is beautiful when I get there. And it's always funny to watch her struggle to get down the hill. There you go. When I've been looking at your book, I was really impressed by the fact that you set the book out in a very easy to follow way. But I was interested in why you've set the four pillars. So you've got four pillars in the book. You've got pillar one, which is mindset and habits. Pillar two, exercise. Pillar three, sleep, rest and recovery. And pillar four, diet and nutrition. So it's actually quite interesting that diet and nutrition was actually the last of the pillars. Why have you set it out like that?
Well, when I was writing it, to be honest, it did start out initially as a diet and weight loss book. And as I was researching it, I found out there's a lot more to our health than just what we eat and how much we move. So because I wanted to take the reader on a journey of self-realization and look at their life as a whole, I thought if I can break it up into the relevant sections and then go through everything as to why it's important, why they need to focus on it, and then ways they can kind of do so in a, that works for them and their routine. And there's stuff in there, everything from strategies to get around the barrier of time, motivation, or even how to eat healthy on a budget. It's very much a one size, like everything that you need to live a healthy life is covered in there. But I thought I'd purposely leave diet and nutrition to last, because it's the one thing that people buy the book for, and everyone's looking for the latest diets and trends. So I thought I'm going to do that last, because they need to check everything else first. They need to find ways to change their habits and their mindset and understand why they're doing it, because all these other diets just simply don't work. And I want to do something that was all about maintainable change. So if you don't change your core behaviors, you're not going to progress in any of the other areas, whether that's fitness to your nutrition or any other aspect of your life.
Okay. I genuinely found it interesting the way you set that out, and it goes on to explain about basics of nutrition and putting together a balanced diet and things like that. I was really interested in the pillar three, which is sleep, rest and recovery. Because I think probably as a nation, and as individuals, people even listening to this probably say that they don't really get enough sleep. How important is sleep, rest and recovery when it comes to, you know, a healthy lifestyle?
If anything, it's by far the most overlooked pillar, because at the end of the day, there's nothing sexy about telling someone that they need to sleep more. So that's why there's no like fancy like trend like there is for dieting or workout plans, because you can't really sell someone on the idea that they need to go to bed earlier. But the thing is, when you sleep, everything happens, from your body recovering to reducing cortisol levels to helping reduce stress. And we kind of just burn the candle at both ends so much that we push our body to the absolute limits till it actually breaks down. Like, I was a prime example of that, just working ridiculously long days to the point that I just couldn't cope anymore. It was just hugely draining. And we really need to kind of pull it back and let our body actually recover. And I think that's something that we're always staying up late, binge watching the latest shows and saying one more episode, and then the next day it's 3 a.m. and just constantly stealing energy from tomorrow just to try and get through the day. I think that's something we really need to all just reflect on and just think, actually, I need to prioritize my own health and let my body just take a bit of a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I know we're talking about your book, but there is another great book out there that if anybody is sort of like worried about their sleep pattern, it's written by Arianna Huffington. Yes, her of Huffington Post fame. And she writes, I listened to the audiobook, which was a little bit hard going on a basis that she read it herself. And her accent is difficult to understand sometimes. Bless her. But she talks about her own experience where effectively, yes, she was burning the candle at both ends to the extreme where she stood up and went to do a presentation and basically fell flat on her face in front of hundreds of people, which I could only assume was utterly, utterly embarrassing. So, yeah, even the most famous of us all, yeah, and the most successful of us all, I guess, can struggle with sleep deprivation, etc. So how...
Yeah.
So... Obviously, turning this back into some more of a business side of things here, how important is it for business owners and perhaps people within the business that have got, you know, some huge responsibilities of making sure that they're fit and healthy? How will it benefit their business?
At the end of the day, if you don't have your health, you don't really have much. It's just like my dad was a prime example of that. He was just working 14-hour days, constantly trying to grow a business and do well, and it just... I nearly took his life for it. It's just like, then there, you're not going to be able to be productive or get the most out of your staff or your business if you're not thinking and 100%. So it could be the best decision you ever make to actually take some time, think about what you actually want and actually reassess what's important to you. Like, I'm not saying overhaul your entire life and suddenly give up all your favorite foods and spend every day in the gym, but you really need to find that bit of balance because there is only so much that all of us can take, and eventually your decisions are going to take a toll on your business, whether that's you losing motivation or start making mistakes and not able to concentrate, and it's going to directly spill over into all your decisions and your profits and also the service that you offer. Because I get a lot of people coming to me who are just completely burnt out, and it shows, and their staff see that, and their customers no doubt do as well. And they're just not able to offer the set complete level of care that they once could.
Mm. Yeah, I completely get it. Having been in a very similar sort of situation myself, where sort of my work-life balance was certainly not in balance in any shape or form, and fell over, and the rest is history, so to speak. Are there any more books in the pipeline?
Yes, I've actually started on a cookbook. Just because I wanted to do something so different with the first book, I kind of thought as a follow-up, I want to do something completely different to every other cookbook and kind of do a completely tailored book where every meal is going to be healthy and easy to make and the user is going to be able to adapt all the ingredients around what they actually enjoy and just trying to teach a sustainable way of eating that's not around dieting or restricting foods. So I'm hoping to have that out later this year.
Wow, you are a busy bunny. I'm liking this. I'm liking this. So apart from the book, what else is on the horizon for you for this year? What exciting stuff have you got lined up and planned?
The one thing I'm really excited about is you've no doubt come across loads of people who will read books and then just don't implement it. Like, it'll be like a quick idea and then they won't actually get around to it. So what I've actually done is I've turned my book into an 8-week program. So people are going to be able to come on it every week. I'm going to have weekly seminars. It's going to be a whole community around it as well. So everyone's going to start at the same time on day one with the same journey. And I'm going to be there every step of the way, like answering questions, doing video guides and seminars and group coaching calls and also one-to-one support. So I think one of the biggest problems is people don't really have the accountability to make changes and they kind of feel like they're alone. Mm-hmm. So if you can get together a group of people who are all struggling, they can help and support each other. And I think it's going to be a great way to kind of move forward because I've kind of made it my goal to one day be able to impact the way that people in this country treat and view food on a national level and just try and help as many people as possible start making positive decisions in their lives. I think that's going to be a great way to start it and just kind of move forward from there. So I've announced that on my website. It's called 8 Weeks to a Better You. and I'm going to be launching that probably the end of next month.
Quality. Give your website a shout out. I was going to get you to do it anyway, but you might as well do it now.
Yeah, it's tailoredlifestyles.co.uk.
You see, all plugs are free on this podcast. It's fine. It's not a problem. Mate, where else can they find your book?
My book's available on Amazon globally. Yeah, and like you said, it's called Become a Better You.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, how's it doing? I know that's putting you on the spot, but how's it doing? Please don't say rubbish, because otherwise this was a waste of 20 minutes. But, you know, how's it doing? Has it exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, it's been really good so far. Every week sales are picking up, and the response I've got has been really overwhelming. Like, the fact that there's people around the world contacting me saying how much of a positive impact it's having on their lives has made all the long days and nights writing it worthwhile, because that was very much what I was hoping to achieve. So I can't really ask for any more than that.
Wow, brilliant. Byron, thank you so much for spending some of your valuable time with us today. Really do appreciate it. And go on, give your website another shout out again.
Yeah, it's tailoredlifestyles.co.uk.
There you are. Go and visit. Go and visit Byron. Buy his book. Honestly, it's a great book. I've read it. I've got the online version sat in front of me on my MacBook as I speak, and I absolutely love it. The cover is incredibly striking, and I absolutely love the cover. You can tell you come from a marketing background. It's brilliant stuff. Byron, thank you so much. Really did appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me on.
What a thoroughly nice bloke Byron really is. Absolutely top draw. Seriously, go. I highly recommend his book. I've read it from cover to cover. Really, really enjoyed it. Okay then, guys, that is it for this edition of the podcast. I'll be back sometime soon. There's generally no plan for this podcast, but they appear. So please go and subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. That would be really cool. Really nice to know what you think of the podcast. If you want lots of free stuff, and there is free stuff, on my brand new website, which is even better still, go to lifebusinesscoaching.co.uk. That's lifebusinesscoaching.co.uk, and go and get yourself some free stuff to help you with your business and your life and everything else. Go and see what events we're doing, and go and check out some of the old editions of the podcast, and go and have a look at the blogs that I love writing. Okay then, guys, until next time, go out, be brilliant, be wonderful, and just take care of yourself. Take care. Bye-bye.